And we are live a little later. That's okay. We are rolling today. We've got so much fun things going on. We're going to talk to two former gladiators in Davis Van Dane and Rory Rolrick. Rory will be joining us here shortly. We're actually going to do something a little unorthodox. We're actually going to hit him up from the show. We are also going to... we're also going to talk some playoffs. Playoffs. Definitely got to do that. I got a few notes about the Hurricanes, a few things. Want to kind of close up shop a little bit as far as the Gladiators. We'll talk a little more about that as well. But yeah, happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. But tons of fun stuff. Tons of fun stuff. Let's get Rory on the line. Why not? Right? Let's see if we can get Rory on the line. See if we can make this happen. Because I know you guys want to hear from him. I want to hear from him as well. All right, we will see if we can get him on.
Hello?
Rory.
Hey.
Hey, this is Jeremy from BoardCheck. How are you?
Good, yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I appreciate you being patient with us there, and let me give you the proper introduction for everybody who doesn't know. He is Rory Rolrick. He was played for the Gladiators a couple seasons ago, a longtime veteran journeyman, played in leagues all over, which we will get into shortly, but how you been?
Not too bad. Can't complain. Missing the ice a little bit, but other than that, things are all right.
Yeah, I was about to say, some of your recent photos that I've seen online have included a lot more sand than ice.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I was just in Mexico last week, taking it easy a little bit.
Hey, it's always good to recharge the batteries.
Absolutely.
But obviously we had you on. I'm going to start right there with that. You spent some time last season with it was the Everblades, was it not, before you got traded to Atlanta?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, correct.
And I don't know if I ever told you that story, but that was actually one of the first games of the year I got to go to that late in the season when you were with the Everblades, you're playing against Atlanta. And I took a buddy of mine who had never been to a hockey game. I was like, I'm going to make you a hockey fan in like 10 minutes. Just come to a live game. And it actually worked. He's actually a big fan of yours, too. But you played for the Everblades at that time, and we gave you as much hell as we could, yelling, all kinds of things. In fact, you kind of intimidated him because at one point he took one of my lines. You had hit the ice, and he says, oh, first time on skates, Rory? And you shot a look at him, and he pointed at me, and I was like, really? Is that where we're going with this? But, no, from that point on, I had reached out to you on social media and said, you know, we gave you all kinds of hell. You continued to play your game. That was actually the game where the Everblades goalie scored the goal. That's one of the first live goalie goals I've ever seen. And for about 2 weeks, I made the pitch on this very show that we got a trade for you. And lo and behold, they did. So how did that kind of go from your perspective, where you're playing in Florida, things are going pretty good, and does the coach just walk in and go, hey, you're going to Atlanta?
Yeah, well, actually with that, you know, obviously playing in Florida, beautiful place, great team. But, you know, being one of the older guys and stuff like that, a lot of numbers, young guys coming down from the system. So, you know, you always got to be weary of getting that call one day. And so, yeah, it just kind of worked out like that. They gave me a call, and I think it was right made the All-Star break, and then Brando from Atlanta. You know, I played against him back in the day, and you know, so he obviously knew of me, and they were looking for a little bit of veteran leadership and an older guy. So he told me about coming down to Atlanta. So I always enjoyed playing in Atlanta back when it was Gwinnett Gladiators, obviously when I was in Charlotte. So it was a easy decision, and I hopped in the vehicle and drove down to Atlanta and finished the rest of the season there. And obviously I enjoyed it. It was a great place to play, and had a lot of fun.
Yep, and we definitely had a lot of fun, especially from the media and fan perspective, having you there. You're not a player who fights a whole lot. I don't know if you avoid that or people are just not dumb enough to try to fight with you. How many fights do you think you've had in your career?
Oh, not many. I was never a fighter, really. I more or less enjoyed playing the game, kind of the newer version of hockey, you could say. I was a little early in my generation. My style of play is more fitted, I think, for the style now. But I don't mind getting involved, but definitely after my puck to the face injury, where almost lost my eye and got the four metal plates in my face, I definitely would say I avoid taking a fist to the face at that point in my career.
Yeah, I definitely would agree there. I didn't know about the puck story. When did you take a puck to the face?
When I was playing over in the UK, I got a deflection up in the face, and had nine facial fractures, and should have lost my eye. You know, the big man upstairs was looking out for me that day. But it was definitely a tough injury, and one I wasn't sure I was going to even able to come back from, and nor a lot of people were expecting me to want to, but it's part of the game, and I always enjoyed, you know, the blocking shots and that side of the game. So I was fortunate to be able to come back and play.
Yep, that you definitely were. I guess we'll start with one of the questions I love asking professional athletes anyway. What attracted you to hockey?
Well, being from Canada, it's kind of embedded in us at a young age, and just kind of started playing when I was 4 years old, and my dad was a big hockey fan, and the rest of my family, and just put the skates on and started playing and enjoyed it. It was fun, the teammates and going to the rink, and you know, we played on the outdoor rinks growing up in Canada too, so. You know, hockey is a big part of our culture, and just kind of played. And then as you went on in your career and started realizing or getting noticed, I guess you can say, from scouts and junior teams and stuff like that, you just kind of kept playing and opportunities would come up. And, before you know it, you're just making a career out of it. And, like I said, it was just one of those things you started doing and realized the passion for it and just continued doing it as long as you could.
Well, then that brings up my next question. At what point did you realize that maybe you were a little bit better than the other kids around you?
It's one of those things you almost don't notice when you're in the moment. You kind of look back now when you're older and realize, situations and things like that. But, I always did well younger. And then when you kind of ask for maybe some summer elite teams, things like that. And then more around the junior age when, you'd get invited to go for a camp. And my first team that I signed with, I think I was 15, Camrose Kodiaks in the AJHL. I remember going to their training camp and just the coach coming up to me and telling me, hey, we want to talk with you and your dad. And, I remember running around to my vehicle and saying, yeah, Dad, this team wants to talk to me. So that was kind of the point where, I guess, once the junior career started, that's when you kind of just realized, you know, that maybe you could do something with the game.
And we are talking with former Gladiators defenseman Rory Rolick. Rory, what would you say are some of the biggest keys to playing successful defensemen in hockey?
You know, I was actually a forward starting out, and the defensive position kind of fell into my lap, and I just kind of went with it. And obviously, depending on the style you play, obviously the game's changed a bunch since I first started out. You know, back then it was more size, and you know, if you're a stay-at-home guy, clearing guys out in front of the net, and you know, playing the simple game kind of thing. If you were an offensive D-man, you had to kind of be really elite to make it back in those days. Other than that, you know, it was a big kind of toughness and size kind of game. Definitely now it's a lot more skill and speed, and you know, the training's a lot more intense as far as you know, quick feet and, you know, having the right diet and kind of being dialed in more along those lines. So it's definitely changed over time, but yeah, definitely now it's more of a speed game, and you know, it's not all about just that big upper body muscle beach style kind of body. It's you know, the big strong legs and being able to move on your feet quick.
Definitely so. That's, at some point I will find myself on a pair of ice skates. For some reason, I have never done this up to this point in my life, but at some point, I mean, even some of your former teammates like Derek Nesbitt keep saying I should come skate with them sometime. I think they really just want to put me in the wall one good time, but we'll see how that goes.
Well, Nezzy's a great guy to learn from. He's been doing it a long time and doing a great job at it.
That he definitely has. He speaks highly of you as well. What would you say are your best traits as far as being a hockey player?
I've always been kind of, I think I see the ice well from a hockey sense standpoint. Been able to, you know, puck control, that kind of thing. And, you know, I like playing both sides. I'm a little more high-risk player at times, but, you know, that's kind of the fun side of the game, trying to get in there and chip in offensively and things like that. But also, you know, take care of your own zone the best you can, blocking shots and doing that kind of stuff.
I definitely see that, and that's if you didn't say it, I was going to say it. I felt like your vision and keeping your zone clean was definitely something I always saw. You know, I mentioned before that you've played all over the world, basically. Where are some of the places you played?
I played, obviously, in Canada, the U.S., and then I played a little stint in Sweden. Played a handful of years over in Germany, and played in Romania. I played in the U.K. for 2 years, and, you know, kind of traveled around, you know, when I was in Romania, Slovakia, Hungary, all those kind of places. So it's definitely taken me to a lot of places around the globe, and actually went to Australia for a summer there, winter last year, I believe, in Sydney, which was you know, a pretty neat experience. So yeah, I've been all over the place.
That you definitely have. Actually, our guest coming up, Davis Van Dane, you guys played together in Australia, right?
Yeah, there was that U.S.-Canada game that they put on out there every summer for the concussion stuff. So we actually played on Team Canada together for a game.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Do you have any cool Davis stories? You guys hang out? Anything you can say that won't get you guys in trouble?
No trouble. Yeah, we played on the line together quite a bit, and we went out that night in Sydney, and Mike Commodore took us out, and they put on a thing with us for the team. So after the game, got to go out have a couple of drinks and catch up and get to know each other a little bit. It was a short time, but yeah, he was definitely a good guy, and was always good to meet more guys in the hockey world.
Definitely so. I could see that. And you know, like I said before, a couple of days ago when we were talking about you being on the show, if I got the puck and I'm looking up ice and I have to go through the two of you as the defensive duo, I'm probably just going to fire the puck from wherever I have it. I'm not even going to bother trying to go through that.
Yeah, it'd be a big pair on the blue line. You might have to go wide, you know, or getting a little slower, so maybe you go wide on us.
It's one of those where I would hope that Sidney Crosby or Ovechkin, somebody with a lot of speed and good hands, you know, Claude Giroux or somebody, that I can just fling it maybe up over the top of you guys and hope they're already at the goal.
Yeah, I think I don't think you'd have a problem playing with those guys getting around us.
I don't know. You haven't seen my probably lack of skills, but seeing as how it is how I first come across you. Talk a little bit about the trash talk, not only on the ice, but how much of it you can actually hear from the fans. Like, can you guys hear a whole lot of it through the glass?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, it's a lot more hand gesture, kind of facial expression stuff. You know, definitely playing in Europe, you get a lot more involved. You can hear a lot more. A lot of the rinks aren't set up quite like they are in North America with the high glass and not as much access to the players. But, you know, I've played in a lot of places over in Europe. The fans are pretty much hanging over top of you or hanging on the bench. And, you know, you try and block it out and you try and not get involved. But, you know, sometimes when you're the import or you know, you're the target. You take a lot more, and you know everyone has those days or frustrating moments where something might trigger you more than it should. Or yeah, you know, you definitely hear from the fans and the good stuff and the bad stuff. But you know, at the end of the day, we're on the ice and they're not. So you just try and keep that mentality and try and stay focused.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And I know you also play video games a good bit. I think you play NHL Live a lot online. Do you get a lot of time to play video games, or is that just kind of more of a tool that you use to make your game better?
No, it's just, you know, when you have a lot of downtime times during the season. And, you know, it's one of those things you do since you're a young kid, and there's always something new and cool coming out. And, like I said, you have that downtime. So, you know, at the end of the day, after a day of training or practice or something, instead of watching TV or something, sometimes put the PlayStation on and have a little fun.
I could definitely see that. I used to, back when I was training to be a pro wrestler, which I was smart enough to realize it wasn't a career path I should take, but I used to play video games a lot to try to come up with different ways to do things and such like that. So that's what a lot of people think, is you guys don't just waste time playing games. It's actually a learning tool. But
yeah,
for
sure.
Go ahead. But since in a way there really is no off season, because there's always leagues going on throughout the year. But what do you like to do during the off season, or at least when you're not playing hockey?
Yeah, usually, you know, you take a little time to recover, but you get in the gym and get the workouts back in and try and stay on top of that. And, you know, usually come back home and see your friends and your family and you know, just kind of unwind a little bit. But, yeah, it goes pretty quick. Usually, you know, the older you get, you have a little more time. You know, back when you were younger, there's a lot more camps they're putting you in and things like that. But, yeah, you try and enjoy your couple months you have. And, you know, some guys will do their own workout programs for kids or coach some hockey schools, things like that. So, you know, a lot of hockey. Everything's usually kind of hockey, and you try and take a little break, but you know, it's fun to stay in, and it's so competitive too. You got to stay on top of things, especially now. Everyone, it's the game. Like I said, it's changed a lot, and your diet and your training and things like that. There's not a whole lot of time to take it easy. So it's pretty year round.
And since you mentioned it, as we finish up with former defenseman for our Atlanta Gladiators, Rory Rolick. Rory, what would you say is, do you have a particular fitness or nutrition plan, or you just try to stay in shape however you can?
Yeah, now, you know, you try and do gluten-free diet, stuff like that, just, you know, eating a lot of the good stuff and staying away from junk food and things like that. Obviously, you have your cheat days here and there, but just trying to eat healthy all around, and, you know, going to the gym, a lot of leg stuff, and working on trying to get your feet, stay active, quick feet, and, you know, just that kind of stuff.
I could definitely see that. That's kind of what Derek Nesbitt said last year when we had him on. Is he said, well, you kind of learn as you get older, you learn what works, what doesn't. And then after a while, it's just about kind of maintaining the balance. It's not, you know, hockey's not a sport where being massively muscular is a big thing. It's about being able to go and do what you need to do on the ice.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then lastly, I promise these are probably the easiest two questions that I've had. Do you have a favorite NHL team?
I'm a Leafs fan, I guess you could say. I like Washington as a modern team, but I like the Bruins, Cam Neely. That's why I always wore number 8 in my career. But my dad was always a Leafs fan, so I just kind of, you know, always watched them growing up, and I've always been a fan of them, and you know, it was tough at times to stay a fan. There were some tough years for them, but you know, they're an awesome, exciting team now, and you know, the Nylander and Matthews and Riley, guys like that, they're fun to watch, and you know, got Game 7 for them coming up tonight to watch right away here, that's probably my team, I'd say.
Yeah, that's it's kind of crazy that of all the great action that the first round has had, that we're down to 1 Game 7, and it's did it start already, or does it start at 8? I can't remember. I think it may have already started already.
Pretty soon, I think.
Yeah. But lastly, and you may actually, your answer may actually surprise me here too. What would you say is your favorite beer?
My favorite beer. Well, I like Weissbier in Germany. That was always one of my favorites. It didn't start out, actually. It kind of grew on me. But Coronas, I like Coronas. But if I have to choose, I'm a whiskey guy.
Mm. Well, is there a particular whiskey you like then?
I like Crown Royal, I'd say.
That's probably one of my choice few favorites too. So that's a good thing.
Right on.
But I guess it's a Canadian thing. That's another thing we can give you guys credit for, is making really good whiskey.
Absolutely, it's a great whiskey.
And you know, since we're looking for sponsors for this show, Crown, if you're listening, you can happily sponsor this show. And we'll probably have Rory on a lot more, and we'll have a lot better time.
There we go. Perfect. Sounds good to me.
But, Rory, it has been fantastic getting to not only catch up with you, but having you on the show. Definitely appreciate you being on. Good luck going forward and down the road. And if you find yourself in the greater Atlanta area anytime in the future, drop us a line, and we'll have to go maybe catch a burger and some drinks or something.
Sounds good. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we appreciate you being on. We will see you later on down the road.
You bet.
And that was former Atlanta Gladiators defenseman Rory Rolick. Just fantastic dude. Glad to have him on. We're going to go to a quick break real quick, and when we come back, we will be talking. We'll be talking playoffs as has that game started? Have we figured? No, it starts in 2 minutes. Wow, it starts at 2 minutes on NBCSN here locally, Toronto and Boston. That's kind of crazy that Toronto is his favorite team because he is from Edmonton, according to what I saw. But, you know, is what it is. To be fair, my favorite team's not in this state either. My favorite pro team. But when we come back from break, we will dive more into some stuff right here on BoardCheck.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And we're back here on BoardCheck, as always. That includes you, Crown Royal. If you'd like to sponsor this show, you can hit us up in any of the many ways, pretty much the same ways except for the iTunes store, except for all the way, you know, pretty much every way that you could contact us with questions, comments, suggestions, any of that sort of thing. You can also hit us up through any of those various ways, and we would love to make you a part of this show. Tons of things we are getting into. And I'm going to check on something real quick. Let's see. Told you the game was coming up. Told you guys. What else to tell you guys? I told you guys some other stuff. I think we may have our guests on the line. So let's check and find out. Is this Davis?
Yes, it is.
See, my call screener is falling down their job. I'm going to probably have to make them take laps now, but let me give you the proper introduction as well. He is former Atlanta Gladiators defenseman Davis Van Dane, and he joins us right now on BoardCheck. How you doing?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm doing a lot better now. It has been a crazy, hectic day. Got here just in time to get everything going here. And as you probably heard the last tail end of, had a great chat with a former teammate of yours, Rory Rolick.
Oh, yeah. I've met him a couple times, actually.
Yeah, I think you guys played for Team Canada together in Australia, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, we did.
What was that like?
Oh, it was unbelievable. Probably the best experiences of my life. You know, we got, not only did we get to go do some touring and kind of see what was going on there, but we also got to play hockey in front of a pretty crazy amount of fans.
See, that would be an exceptional thing. Well, let me start you off kind of like I did him. What attracted you to the game of hockey?
Honestly, I just, growing up in Canada, first thing I did is I did a can skate, it's called. So pretty much you learn how to stand on your 2 feet on the ice, and it just turned into hockey. And, you know, it's just, honestly, for as long as I can remember, that's all I've known, is just always playing hockey.
Wow. That's something that's kind of weird here in the U.S. is that when you're a kid, you might start with baseball or basketball or now soccer that's kind of taken on, or football as the rest of the world calls it. And usually you gravitate to the other sport that you end up in. But in hockey, I've learned in Canada and with hockey, it seems like that's one of the first intro sports. And then those of you that are a little better than the rest just continue on that path.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in the summers, I grew up playing baseball, and then I kind of turned into it, played lacrosse for a little bit. But then eventually it just got to the point where if you wanted to – essentially get to the next level, you kind of had to play it majority of the year, and I had to make the choice to give up lacrosse so that I could play summer hockey. And, you know, I there's days where you sit back and you kind of think, well, what would have happened if I would have stuck with baseball or if I would have played lacrosse or whatnot? But we're pretty blessed, to be able to play the game that we love and we've been playing for so long.
Yep, I would definitely agree with that. When did you know that you were a little better than most of the other kids on the ice?
In where I'm from, your first 4 or 5 years, you play what we would call kind of tier two hockey, because there's no such thing as tier one, just because I'm from a smaller city. And once I got to Pee Wee age, you were able to try out for the traveling team, it was called. So I tried out for the traveling team, and I always played traveling. And then when you got to midget, you play midget AAA. I was always on those teams. And then I just kind of got drafted. I didn't get drafted into the Western League. I went for a tryout and was able to stick around. I didn't make the team that year. Next year I made the jump. I just kind of, every year, just kind of kept going. And don't get me wrong, every team you play on, there's always guys that are a little bit better than you. But for the most part, I'd like to think that I've been able to hold my own in the leagues and teams I've been playing for.
Yeah, you have been to quite a few places. And I want to hit on your hometown real quick because, given my last name, it sounds like such a lovely place. Tell me a little bit about Yorkton.
Honestly, it's a big time farming community. We got a lot of, I'd say, like everyone makes the joke, is if you were to drive 5 miles outside of the city, and you lost your dog, you'd be able to see him run away for days, because it's very flat and a lot of, like I said, farmland. You'll see a lot of cattle and whatnot, but we're in an area where you can drive less than an hour and. Hour in probably the whole inner radius, and you'll hit about 7 different lakes. So
wow.
it's kind of neat in that aspect, because it's, like I said, a lot of farming, and then you hit a bunch of lakes. And it may not be the prettiest place. We don't have mountains, we don't have that kind of stuff, but in the summer when the crops are growing and you see the different colors, it's a pretty nice place to be around.
It sounds like a nice place. Hopefully I get a chance to check that out. Not just because I enjoy the name of it, but it does sound like a nice place. I mean, you don't necessarily have to have mountains to have beautiful landscapes. So it's I'm from a small town too out here in Georgia. So I like the small towns.
Well, exactly. I mean, not everybody knows what it's about, but if you're from it and you kind of understand the concept of it, everybody, like you kind of have a lot more respect for it.
Yeah, definitely so. What would you say are the keys to successfully playing defense in hockey?
I'd say growing up, it was more so you had to try to hit everybody and be one of those guys that blocked a ton of shots. But I'd like to think now the game's kind of morphed into more of a, if you're watching any of the NHL playoffs, it's such a fast game. And now I think there's so much onus on having to be able to be a good skater, and having a good stick, I think, takes you a lot farther than people realize. And the big thing, like taking the physicality, it hasn't left the game. I think it's kind of developed more into the part of angling and just little bumps and stuff along the boards, and may not even be big hits. It's kind of just getting yourself in front of a guy to slow them down enough for you to get a little head start.
See, that makes a lot of sense. That's as much as I wanted to be a big hitter in the little bit of roller hockey I played around here, probably to make up for the lack of actual skill I had beyond that, I realized that slowing people down was almost better than putting the big hit on them, because in roller hockey, they tend to not like people that put a lot of big hits on people.
Well, yeah, and exactly. I mean, even in hockey, it's the big hits, don't get me wrong, it's unbelievable and everybody wants to see it, but realistically, if you don't make that big hit, like you're either the hero or the goat, because if you miss it, chances are you're putting yourself so far out of place that they're just walking around you, right? So it's kind of turned more into work smarter than harder kind of thing. don't get me wrong, the hard work part, compete, all that stuff's always there, but it's more, I think it's more to the point where you gotta pick and choose your battles because of how big the ice is and how long the game is.
That definitely makes a lot of sense. What would you say are some of your best traits as a player?
Yeah, I'd like to say I can skate pretty well. I kind of, as a kid, I took a lot of pride in that, did a lot of power skating, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I like to think I can move the puck well, and probably I'd say my strongest asset is being able to not only shoot the puck well, but also not get blocked as often as maybe somebody else. But it was, like I said, it was one of those things where as a kid, I really worked on my power skating and I really worked on shooting pucks in my backyard. So I'd like to think that it's kind of worked out for me.
And in the games I saw you play in Atlanta this year, I would definitely agree with that, that those are definitely some of your strong points. You've actually played a good handful of, let's see, six different ECHL teams, Greenville, Alaska, Norfolk, Elmira, Toledo, and then you made your way to Atlanta. What's kind of the level of play in the ECHL in the last couple years?
Honestly, I think there's a lot of people that don't give credit to the league. You know, it's like, it is considered minor pro and whatnot, but you know, there's a lot of good players. Like if you go up and down the rosters, I'd say there's probably half of the players either used to play in the AHL or play in the AHL and go up and down kind of thing, you know, and it's when I came into the league, it kind of, I'd say it was a lot more kind of rough and tough. You have to be able to stand your own ground. And I think now, I mean, it's the same thing as NHL. I think it's turned into more of, you still have to be able to protect yourself, but you have to be able to do every other intangible. Otherwise, unfortunately, you're replaceable because there's so many hockey players out there.
I definitely see that. That's something Rory hit on too. You can see that change in the game, and unlike other sports, making hockey more finesse and less super over physical, I think, is going to make it that much more pure of a game.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, we joke about it too. Is the kids nowadays playing are so much better than we ever were, and I think it's kind of came down to the whole just like technology of training, your sticks, like everything's just better, right? And the majority of these, like, and I do a lot of hockey schools in the summer, and there's kids that they're on the ice 3-4 times a week, every week, you know, like,
wow.
It doesn't matter. If you're practicing that much at anything, any given thing, you're bound to get really good at it.
Yeah, definitely so. Let's see. I would ask you all the different places you played, but I actually have the list in front of me here. I got into all the ECHL places. You actually went to the University of Calgary, correct?
Yep.
So this is probably going to show my lack of knowledge for sure, but so how does college or university differ in Canada from here?
I'd say the big thing is the age difference, you know, like a lot of like I did, I played in the Western Hockey League, major, junior, and then I went and tried out university. So I'm going into university at 21 years old. Whereas you see a lot of American schools, kids are going in 18, 19 years old and they're coming out 22, 23. Right. And I mean that age difference of the 3-4 years, it's a lot. And I mean, I'd like to think it's actually kind of helped me out in transition to the pro game, just because you're playing against older guys who are men now. Everyone's a little bit stronger. The only, I guess, kind of another downside would be Canadian university is a lot, I'd say, a lot more focused on school, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of the guys that play major, junior, they go to school because they're getting their schooling paid for. And they're kind of at the point where they still really enjoy hockey, but they also have understood the fact that they're not going to make the NHL, and they're kind of setting themselves up for a longer and better career in something else.
That makes sense. It's probably what we should do more here is focus more on the actual book part of it as opposed to athletics. But unfortunately, college around here is more of a business than it is an institution. So it's all about making that money.
Yeah, and I mean it's like that everywhere. And I mean, don't get me wrong, majority of the kids that are going to graduate with university degrees out of Canada or out of the States, like, it still is really hard work, even if it is a business. But yeah, it's one of those things where we're not all the same. Like, I've heard of guys that have went to like American schools, played their 4 years of their sports, and then they're like, you know what, I'm done. I had my fun, and now it's kind of time to get going with my life. Which, I mean, if that's the way you choose, that's the way you choose. Like, no one can say it's right or wrong.
Right. Yep, I definitely agree there. With Davis Van Dane, former Atlanta Gladiator defenseman. Tell me a little bit about, from your perspective, the trash talk on the ice, and then also as far as from the fans, because Rory said that you guys can hear some people through the glass, but definitely playing in America as opposed to other places is a lot different because the glass is a little higher, where in other places like Germany, sometimes people are hanging over and really being able to actually touch you.
Yeah, no, that's funny you asked that question, because, you know, the trash talk in hockey, it's almost impossible to describe, because you have guys that purposely try to, I guess would the proper word would be, take daggers at yourself or say a girlfriend, a family member, something like that. Oh, and then you have guys that just simply talk, just to talk and try to get you off your game. I know, like, I played with a guy this year. His go-to kind of chirp, I guess, would be if the team had a sponsor on the logo, is he'd constantly ask the guys if they get free stuff from that sponsor. And, you know, you're sitting on the bench, and I think it was against Manchester, and they're sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts. And he went for about 2-3 minutes asking if they got free coffees and donuts and like what his favorite drink was, you know, just things like that. And you're sitting on the bench and you're like, geez, if this is me, I don't know how I'd even be able to focus. I'm laughing too hard.
I'm not gonna ask you to call him out, but was this a teammate or was this a opponent?
No, this was a teammate chirping an opponent.
Okay.
It was pretty funny. So you get some of that, and then, you know, even with the fan interaction, it's one of those things where you try to stay away from it, just because the more you kind of let them think that they're doing their job, the more it kind of lets you, like, it affects you, and the more they keep going. So it's kind of one of those things where you just kind of, You sit there and you kind of laugh. If it's your own fans, you love it and you want to hear more of it because it gets the other team off. But if it's the other fans chirping, you kind of just stand there. Or at least the way I do it is I kind of just stand there and smile at them and make them realize that it's really not affecting me. It's more comical than anything.
You like to do in life, if you're letting you know that they're your number one fan, as we call it around here, I just smile and wave at them, and it makes them even more mad, apparently, and they just speed on off.
Yeah, exactly.
I know Rory plays a lot of video games. Do you get a chance to play a lot of video games?
Yeah, I probably play a lot more than I should, that's for sure. But no, I like to consider, I'm not really much of a movie guy. Like, I enjoy watching a movie, but like a lot of my teammates, they go home after practice and they'll sit there and they'll watch movies, they'll watch Netflix. I kind of get bored, so I like to think of just, I play a little, play some video games for an hour or so, kind of enjoy it, and then kind of go from there. But I'll be the first one to admit, I wasn't a big football guy growing up, just because growing in Canada, you have the CFL, but it's not that big, and the NFL is a lot different, right? But I can truthfully say that I learned the NFL from playing Madden. Everything I know about that, the players, all that kind of stuff, is all from playing the video game. I know it's probably something I shouldn't tell everybody, but that's kind of the only way I learned about football.
No, I have a lot of friends, including somebody in a football fantasy league with me that good. He said the same thing, and he's a football fan because of the video game. And I was like, and it's another got you a fan, so I at it.
Yeah, no, I like it, and we actually saw NHL 18. In NHL, you can create a team like with your buddies, and you know we kind of joke around about that's like the only time we get to hang out, right? Because I'm so far away from home. But honestly, playing video games with them is like that's like the way we kind of stay in contact, you know. And it's fun and it's enjoyable to be able to hang out with your friends even though you're 28 hours away from them.
That makes a lot of sense. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry. It's cutting in and out here.
Okay. Yeah, it was kind of cutting in and out here too. So do you have a favorite football team?
I don't really have a favorite football team. I know I'm a fantasy guy as well, so I'd probably say that's my favorite team. But no, I like just kind of watching. I think it's the same with the NHL. I'm more of a fan of like certain players and like what they can do rather than the team. But if I was to say any team, I'd say I'd like to cheer for the Raiders. I would think, I don't know why, but I think their team is set up for good in the future.
I could go with that. Their head coach is one of my favorite coaches of all time. So I can definitely side with that.
Yeah. I think Derek Carr is a stud that's just waiting to kind of break out.
It's very possible, and he has the right coach. He's either going to break out or he's going to bust out, one or the other.
Yeah.
Like, we will definitely know here in a year or so how good he could actually be. But as we finish up with former Atlanta Gladiators defenseman Davis Van Dane, I promise these are probably the easiest questions, or at least ever. Do you have any fitness or nutrition tips, or is there a certain thing that you do to stay in shape?
Well, I mean, just probably like any hockey player, you try to stay in the gym as best you can in the summer, just because the way we kind of say it's the more you do in the summer, the less you kind of have to do in the winter, based off of the fact of your injury. You're probably not going to be hurt as much. You know, you're able to play a lot better, you know. When you're playing more, you play better, you know, and it all kind of adds up. But honestly, one of the big things I've done in the last couple of years is I've tried my hardest to cut soda out. And I've realized that it's crazy the amount of sugar / like carbs that you get from a soda. But just drinking water actually helps you so much more. Hello?
Davis, are you still with us?
Yeah, sorry. It went completely dead there.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It's like our internet connection or something just blinked here at the studio. And luckily, this is only about the 4 millionth time that's happened. So I was able to save it enough. But no, you were, let's see, you were just saying, I think you were just about, or as far as when it cut out on this side, you were just saying what you do fitness or nutrition wise.
Yeah, well, like I was saying, I think the one thing I've kind of tried to stay true to, it's been cutting soda out and juices and things like that, just based off of the sugars and the carbs. And I mean, I think I've noticed the difference, not only with cutting that kind of stuff out, but also the fact of the overall health based off of the amount of water I drink.
That's funny you say that because I guess 2 months ago, I actually gave up not only soda but all sugary drinks for the same reason. I was just like, it's, you know, mostly I was drinking for taste, and I was like, maybe I'm drinking for the sugar content. So I've cut it out. It's all been unsweet tea, water, coffee, and then the occasional alcoholic beverage at that point. And
yeah,
the only thing I've noticed is once you come off of the sugar, is you get a headache here or there. But past that, it just seems like I'm having to fight a little harder at the end of some days. Instead of having that sugar rush that was sitting there at the end of the day, now my body's trying to find a different way to find energy.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think it's one of those things where it sucks at the beginning, but once you kind of stick to it and you figure out what your body does enjoy, like for sugars that are healthier, you know, the way I kind of get my sugars, I'm a big honey guy. And when you get natural honey, I mean, honey's the best natural sugar you can get. Again, when you're buying it from stores, you kind of got to watch because some of them are loaded with sugar, but majority of them, the natural ones you get are very good for you.
That makes a lot of sense. And they also say that if you get honey within so many miles of where you live, that it actually helps your sinuses because it includes some of the local pollen so that your allergies won't act up as much.
Oh, wow. I never heard of that, but that does make sense.
That's the fun thing about living pretty much my whole life in the South is there's all kinds of these home remedies, and about two-thirds of them actually work.
Yeah, no kidding.
But as we finish up with former Atlanta Gladiators defenseman Davis Van Dane, you said you didn't have an NHL team, so it leads me to the last question here, and do you have a favorite beer?
My favorite beer? Ooh, that's a tough one.
There's a lot of good choices out there, so, I mean, if you need to give me a list, that's fine, too.
Cool. Yeah, honestly, I've been kind of on an IPA kick here for a bit. You know, I really, really enjoy trying the different kind of IPAs. You know, I think it's a beer, though, that you can only have two or three if you're
right.
With dinner, just because it is a lot different taste, but yeah, I'd say more. I'm on the IPA train for sure.
There are a ton of different types. I guess this will slowly prove one of my favorite hobbies. But there is an app that I use that I check in every time that I drink a beer. You can check in locations. You can earn badges. I do it just to keep up with the various different ones I've had. Just in the past few days, I got a badge that says that I have had 120 different IPAs in the life of me having that app. And I, for the life of me, didn't think there was 120, but apparently there's a lot more than that.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, no, it's nice too. It just being in the sport I'm in, I'm able to obviously travel a lot, and it's cool
to
get a lot of local breweries with their different IPAs. And it's interesting because you try them out and you kind of understand and see which ones you like and which ones you don't.
Yep, exactly. That's kind of the fun thing. It's, you know, some people are whiskey people. I enjoy a little bit of everything, but at the end of the day, I've always kind of been a beer guy. That's why when I love going to the festivals and stuff like that, because they literally just let you try so many different ones and you can really taste the difference. It's just like coffee. It's if you know what
oh,
you're
yeah, for sure.
You kind of know the different things about about coffee, you can taste the difference in those, and that's a fun thing.
Yeah.
But Davis, it's been fantastic getting a chance to talk to you, and been fantastic having you on the show. I will let you back to your evening in case you want to catch the only hockey game going on right now, NHL wise. It completely baffled me that there's only one game seven, and it just so happens to be tonight. But who do you have in that game?
Honestly, it's funny because I got a couple buddies that are huge Leafs fans. And before the beginning of game six, I was like, the Leafs win game six, they're going to win it all, just momentum wise and whatnot. And I'm sitting here and it's 2-1 Leafs with 11:57 left in the first. And I'm sitting here and I'm like,
wow,
God, I really don't want to see the Leafs win, but I mean, I would not be surprised if they do win. So, but
yeah, because if you let a series go to Game 7 or Game 5, whatever the prevailing game is, records don't mean anything right now. It doesn't matter who's the favorite. It's all
no.
who wins today.
Exactly. And going back to your Game 7 comment, I was talking to one of my buddies the other day, and there's a stat going that there's only been four times if the Bruins would have won Game 6, and because the Capitals won as well,
mm-hmm.
that would have been the fourth time in NHL history that there's never been Game 7s in the first round of the playoffs. And
wow.
The third time that happened, which was last year, there was no Game 7s in the first round, also had that whole thing. Two out of the three were when they only played Game 5s, only best of 5 series.
Wow.
So it's pretty remarkable when you say the whole only one Game 7 in the first round.
Yeah, and for the two teams that it was, it completely surprised me because, I mean, Boston came in as a heavy favorite. I thought this would go 5, no more than 6, but Toronto's been
yeah.
right in it. And as a fan of the great game of hockey, this is the kind of series, because I got no horse in this race, so I just look forward to a great, you know, physical play type game, and this series has been every bit of that.
Well, exactly. And I mean, it's this time of the year, playoff hockey, it's the most exciting time to watch. And I mean, if you're a hardcore fan, or even if you played the game, you understand that playoffs is like, everybody wants to win, and this is where you win. Everybody kind of squeezes the stick a little bit tighter, hits are that much bigger, and you know, it's
mm-hmm.
exciting.
Yep, it definitely is. Davis, it's been fantastic having you on. If you find yourself in the greater Atlanta area, I'm not sure where you're at right now. Maybe we can catch some burgers and drinks sometime. And wish you the best of luck in the future, because you never know how it shakes out ECHL-wise or anything like that. But if in any way we can ever assist you with anything, just let us know, and you're welcome back anytime.
Awesome. Appreciate the invite, and look forward to maybe doing this again in the future.
Definitely so. Have a great rest of your night, and we will see you later down the road.
All righty, you too.
And that was former Gladiators defenseman Davis Van Dane. We are going to go to a commercial break real quick. When we come back, I'm going to talk playoff hockey, and then we're going to get out of here because he gave you the score update. This is the game you guys should be watching. We'll be back right here on Porchat.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And we're back here on Board Check. Welcome back. Just finished up talking to Davis Van Dane, who played with the Gladiators earlier this year. Fantastic player. I like the play of him and Rory. It was good to have them both on. But as advertised, I guess, let's talk some playoff hockey. Now, like I said, all but one series has been decided. I'm going to go over those real quickly. Let's start with the West. Nashville won their series 4-2 over Colorado. Basically between Rene and Sissons, the Sissons-Bonino Watson line were just untouchable for Nashville, and that's what helped power them through their victory. They ended up upping the physical play to really kind of rough up Colorado, who is very young and talented, and they have a bright future. Colorado's going to be around for a long time. It surprised everybody they were in. It shouldn't surprise anybody from here on out. Of course, Nashville was going to play the winner of Winnipeg and Minnesota. Minnesota come out and try to put some dents in the armor of Winnipeg, and I got to give Winnipeg credit. They have this franchise, that includes the Thrashers, this franchise has finally built a force to reckon with, and they were just a matchup nightmare for Minnesota. Minnesota's a great team, they just couldn't, just they had nothing for Winnipeg. So Nashville will play against Winnipeg. On the flip side, it will be the Battle of the Sweepers as the Vegas Golden Knights rolled over the Kings, and it was almost embarrassing. The Kings are a way better team than the way they played, but Vegas was a matchup nightmare for them. So they basically contained the Kings. The Golden Knights did. They contained the Kings, and they never let them get established and never let them grab any momentum. So ended up being a pretty easy series for them. On the flip side, the winner of the Sharks and Ducks, of course, the Sharks went duck hunting, and they were undefeated there. They won the series 4-0. They just stopped Anaheim before they ever got started. It's very similar to what the Golden Knights did, but as pesky as the Ducks were this year, it's like they ran out of firepower. So it is what it is as far as that. On the flip side, we are going to get a rematch that I know Washington has been looking forward to. The Capitals disposed of the Columbus Blue Jackets, and they did that in six games. That just ended just the other night, 4-2 on the series. The Caps just found a way. This was a rough matchup for them. Columbus matches up really well, and the Capitals were able to find a way, get some people on the board that needed to get going, and great goaltending has, as always, been one of their keys, and that definitely had a lot to do with this. On the flip side, they will play the Pittsburgh Penguins, who beat the Philadelphia Flyers in what took two more games than I thought it would. Philadelphia. This whole series was highly, highly physical. The most physical rivalry there is, not only because they're in the same state, they're both old school teams. They every time they meet, it gets pretty brutal. The few Philadelphia fans that littered the ice at the end of Game 6, you know, enjoy your lifetime ban, because Philadelphia fans, all of you guys don't act like that, so I'm not going to hold that against you guys. But you played a great series, but there's a reason why these people, why the Penguins are back-to-back champs with a chance to three-peat. But we get Capitals Penguins. And then on the other side of, or on the top side of the bracket, the one seed Bolts took on the Devils, and the Lightning, of course, come out with the victory there. 4-1 in the series. Basically, what Tampa Bay proved is when they're healthy, which has been their issue for the last probably 10 years, when they're healthy, this Bolts team is a tough, tough team to take on. And they are quite exciting, a lot of speed. It's good to see everybody playing on high levels and healthy. It was unfortunate that the Devils were in their way, but it didn't take long for them to dispose of them. And that leaves us with tonight's matchup. As Davis was just saying, the Bruins and Maple Leafs are about halfway through the first. Let's get an update here. It is 2-2 with 8:55 left in the first. I was going to favor Boston, but I kind of have to agree with Davis there. It looks like Toronto could take this series and could take everything. So, you know, it's a fantastic series. It's been almost as physically brutal as Pittsburgh-Philly. It's pretty crazy that the West seems like it's more about speed and finesse, and the East seems to be a lot more physical, a lot more bigger hits and bigger physical moments like that. So, you know, depending on how the Stanley Cup shapes out, this could be very, very good. It's always good. I'm going to talk a little more about Atlanta, the Atlanta series next week. I hope to have some guests on. If we don't, we're still going to wrap it up a little bit and kind of go into the what's next, because there are a lot of things that you guys need to know about, and want to kind of set you guys in the right off-season mode to gear up for next year. And then as far as Carolina, not only are they going to need a general manager, but their head coach actually stepped down. So now the vacancies left in the league as of right now. People can still get fired between here and there. The vacancies across the league. Of course, you have Carolina that I just mentioned is going to need a head coach and a GM. With Ken Hitchcock stepping down in Dallas, the Stars are going to need a new captain of the ship down there. And you can't leave out the New York Rangers, who are going to need a new head coach after Alain Vigneault was let go, much to the chagrin of many of the fans who wanted this to happen a year or so ago. But I think that catches you up on everything going on. If you get a chance, as always, definitely go watch this game right now. But shout out to Davis Van Dane and Rory Rollick, who were my guests tonight. They are both fantastic dudes. Look forward to doing some stuff with them later on down the road. We'll definitely have them back on. But for Rory, for Davis, for everybody here at Board Check and Impact Media, I'm Jeremy, the Impact York. Go Predators. Go Canes. Go Gladiators. Go watch hockey. See you guys next week.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam!